Hey listeners, just to give you a little perspective, this episode of Masters of the D was recorded at the start of our Butcherbird shoot. So in the timeline of things, this takes place before episode 7. We hope this can be an interesting look at how our best laid plans can always go awry.
Hello, and welcome to a special edition of Strato Mojado and Masters of the D, brought to you by Wet Manor Productions in conjunction with Butcherbird Studios here in beautiful Glendale, California. Strato Mojado is our Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition actual play podcast and now live stream, while Masters of the D is Wet Manor Productions' exclusive dungeon mastering workshop where we reveal the dark and twisted schemes of our DMs as we prepare for our upcoming game. I'm Arthur Milliken, and today we have some very special programming planned for you. In 1 hour, at 3 o'clock, or in 50 minutes, we will begin a 5-hour session of Strato Mojado, where we will be playing the published adventure Curse of Strahd, written by Chris Perkins. The session will end at 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. However, during the next hour, or 50 minutes, the lovely Anna Wanger, seated across from me, and I, who have decided together to partner as co-DMs for Strato Mojado, will be planning that session in front of all of you. Will our dastardly plan succeed? Stick around and find out. Let's get started. We're also joined here by Luis Reyes from Butcherbird Productions. Butcherbird Studios, who have been so gracious in allowing us to use their space. And we're really, really, really excited to be here. Let's go ahead and get started. Hi, Anna.
Hi, how's it going?
It's going good.
Yes.
So we've had a few meetings before now where we're talking about the game that's coming up, but a lot has changed, and some, you know, people are coming, and then they're not coming, and then they're coming again. And so the shifting sands of what we're actually planning to do is a little confused. So I think I want to start off by turning it over to you. What is your understanding of what's going to happen today in our game?
For me, okay, and you know what? I'll just run through it, and then please correct me where, because I would like to write a little outline here for me to follow.
Right.
Because things do change a lot, and there's somebody named Buffy, and there's somebody named Bluffy, and it's like, you know, can we do better with names? I don't know, maybe next time.
So can I clarify that you guys are both the DMs for this game that that we'll be running through?
Yeah. This is something we do at Maynard Productions. We like having two dungeon masters. Mm. And that way you can spread out the characters more, and there's a little bit more sharing of the burden of being a dungeon master.
And I also think that I would consider Arthur the dungeon master and me the dungeon apprentice, if that makes sense.
What is Min's role over here?
That's a good question. I play in the game.
He's the dungeon sound recorder.
Lots of sound to be recorded.
Authentic medieval sound recording devices.
Yes.
But you're running all the sound. Not only are you running the sound for the table so the mics pick up everybody, you are also running sound effects, music beds, and some lighting stuff, right?
Just a few things, just to enhance the game, you know.
Yeah, he doesn't have a whole lot of responsibility, does he?
I'll also be playing some NPCs, and once the DMs are killed, I will take over their roles.
Gotcha. So is that a part of Wet Manor Productions?
Yeah, killing the DM.
The slaughter, ritualistic slaughter of the DM?
Yeah, I think so.
That's the joy right there. That's the...
All right, Anna.
Okay. So I'm nervous and sweating, and I'm like, okay. So we're going to start out. Everyone has left the... just give us a setup of everyone has left the Death House.
We're leaving the Death House. Mm-hmm. We're going to start in the... Yeah.
Because that was the prologue, which you guys played last week.
That's right. We played a prologue that leads up to this, and this is the official start of the campaign. But the prologue, some things happened, kind of sets the scene, and that's where we're kind of starting in the middle.
So when I'm kind of, because I'm a beginner, just very concerned with my roles and that I don't, let anyone down, in that regard. Right. So so I'm kind of going from the self-centered version of then what I do next is. Yep. But but what we start with is the group leaving the death house. They're traveling on the road. They're immediately going to run into a character that I'm playing, Morgantha.
Yes.
The meat pie hag. My cart has turned over. Mm-hmm. I'm going to offer them meat pies in exchange for my cart being righted.
Yeah.
And then, you know, that's that.
Yeah.
We'll see what happened. We discussed previously kind of on our previous recording what the meat pies entailed and, you know, what my job is.
Yeah, we're going to talk a little bit more about the meat pies when Matt Yamashita joins
us. Okay, great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So then, and then once that exchange is done, there will be some flashbacks.
That's flashback number one.
And flashback number one is a plea for help.
A plea for help.
Okay.
That's right.
And that is, I'm going to introduce that scene. It's going to be T-Nock and what's his name?
Kikaken.
Kikaken. It's going to be Nathan Min, a.k.a. Kikaken, and T-Nock. In a bar, I'm going to discuss their backgrounds with them. How did they get here? Then I will announce a visitor who's arrived. That will be Matt Yamashita, the Wiz.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
We'll talk with him later about what his plan is. There will be a letter that urges our rescuer or our
And I'll be reading the letter. Mm-hmm.
You'll be reading the letter, and then after that, they will go back out. How do they join up? Oh, they'll come back.
We skip it. That's the end of the flashback.
End
of the flashback. We go back to everyone together dealing with T-Nock.
Okay.
Right.
Everyone is at Morgantha, though, right?
Hmm? Yes.
Everyone's
there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. And then this is a flashback.
Yep. Okay. And where the players go, we don't know, but we think they're going to go to the church. That's kind of the guess that we're making. And then on the way there, so what triggers the flashback is Kikaken finds this scroll, right? Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, the scroll. I remember where this came from, and that's what the flashback is explaining that, right? They're going on the way to the church, and Lisbeth, the wizard, she has another scroll, right? Which is very similar to the first scroll, and so then we play a flashback for them, Lisbeth and
Bluffy,
yes. And they're going to go through their flashback, which is a discovery of another scroll.
Then we come back to everyone.
Yes. Now one thing, there's one character who we're not doing a background for. Mm-hmm. That's Buffy.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And hopefully the player playing Buffy will feel left out. We want him to feel left out.
Good. Matt M.
Yeah. Matt M.
And in terms of story beats, what are they actually discovering? What are they going after? I know they're discovering the scrolls back.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing is when we did the prologue, we just dropped them in. We didn't tell them how they got here.
Ah, okay.
So now we're going back and saying, okay, here's who you are and how you got here. And so that's all this is really, is we're setting the scene for, we're introducing.
Right.
The scenario.
So at this point, there aren't any real story beats narratively that they're moving through. It's a discovery of the past.
There is one story beat based upon what happened at the end of the last game, which will be very obvious when we start.
Gotcha.
Yeah. That story beat is actually going to be driving the game. I'm sort of withholding a little bit what that story beat is because it's fun to have a little bit of surprise.
And for people who don't know, the prologue is what we played the last session, which was our first session.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. It's called, for those of you who've read Curse of Strahd, it's called the Death House. And it's in the appendix. It's Appendix B. Curse of Strahd is supposed to start with third level characters. And so you play this prologue and it levels you up to level 3. So we played that prologue and now this is kind of the official beginning of the campaign.
Very nice.
And so it's nice to have a little bit of plot motion already moving when we start, so there's urgency, right?
Now, knowing how you guys play too, I mean, just because people aren't familiar with your playing style, there is definitely an adherence to the rules of D&D, but there is a lot of improvisational character, and that is pretty...
Well, and the way we play is I adhere to the rules of D&D. Everyone else is trying to break those rules, and I'm trying as hard as I can to enforce it and prevent them from breaking them.
Gotcha. So they're trying to think of ways to outwit the rules.
Yeah. when you meet Kikaken here, played by Nate, it's an ongoing war.
And how do you think that differs from how most people would play D&D?
Well, I think you know, you have D&D etiquette. And the etiquette usually is don't question the DM, like be nice, right? But here we have a little bit of antagonism between the players and the DM.
Right. And
a little bit.
The other thing is also that I think most people when they play would say, well, this is my Bible, the player's handbook.
Yeah, that's right.
And I am going to...
that's what I want. I really, it is my wet dream, my wet Maynard wet dream to have people actually read the damn player's handbook. But
I like it how you have them laid around, like in case somebody wants to.
A little bit of a suggestion.
People will pick them up and read them. Like, it would be so nice to know how to play.
Now, you wish that, but I mean, there must be some excitement in the antagonistic relationship, though, or else you wouldn't be doing this.
Yeah.
Well, that's a great and deep question.
These are my friends, my best friends in the world. I love them very much, and I have to put up with their shortcomings.
I'm glad that this has turned into kind of a little bit of a therapy session here.
Yeah, totally. Okay, so Anna, back to you. We have this secondary flashback where they discover another scroll. Mm-hmm. Then we join them back together again. Then they go to the church, and then we're kind of off and running with the actual sort of adventure, right? And the two flashbacks also have the mission. Mm-hmm. The mission. Right. And as I was mentioning, there's the one character, Buffy, that we're skipping in the background part of the game. And the reason why is later on, we're going to have the destiny. We have this, it's like a tarot card reading. It's called the Taroka cards. Right. It's an invention of the Curse of Strahd. And there's this old hag who delivers this reading. And normally it's a reading. It basically the reading is supposed to explain how you kill the vampire lord, right? And normally it's for the whole party. We're doing a little tweak to that. The whole quest is going to lay on Buffy's shoulders, mm-hmm. right? She's the chosen one. Of course, she's Buffy.
Of course.
Right? She's the chosen one.
The reluctant hero.
We're going to choose her as the party leader. And that's probably going to be like the climax of our session today. I'm not sure how far we're going to get. But yeah, something like that.
Cool. All right. So back to Anna before she gets restless.
Yes.
She's already restless. It's
weird you haven't spoken about me. So
we know each other so well.
So we're... out, and now this is after
Lisbeth. And the Taroka card reading will probably be towards the end of the session.
Okay.
So if you need time to like review your picks, you totally can. Yeah.
Okay, great. Then they're going to hopefully go to the church. They're going to go into Barovia. Mm-hmm. And while they're going into Barovia, my next character that I need to worry about playing is Irina.
Irina.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But she's not in Barovia.
So you have a little downtime here. Yeah, she's not in the... She is. She's in her father's home. Mm. Right, and her father's dead, and
they think that her father wrote the
both letters are signed by her father,
gotcha.
But the letters contradict each other,
right. Yeah,
okay. So they have to figure out which letter's real and which one isn't.
Talk about it, Anna. Mm-hmm. I'm playing Ismark.
You're not playing
his brother. He's your brother.
Oh,
he's Irina's
wonderful.
Brother.
Mm. Uh-huh. I've been bitten. It's a serious wound.
Yeah.
Once bitten, twice
shy. So they're gonna have a little bit of time at the church, and hopefully from the church. Now, Min is gonna be playing Ismark, who's basically the most important man in town now. He's the son of the burgomaster.
Sure.
And
who's dead.
Who's dead? Yeah, and so as Ismark, we're just gonna pick a time. I'm gonna prompt you, or you're just gonna walk in and go to the party and say, "Hey, we need your help, right? My father is dead, and we need to bury him in the church. But the whole village has been overrun by wolves. The wolves are under the command of the dread Lord Strahd, the vampire lord, right? And so they need an escort for Irina and the dead body, and." So on and so forth, right? Another thing tweak we're doing is at the church. The church has a priest named Donovich, and also he has a son, Doru, who's been turned into a vampire. He's in the basement. Matt Yamashita's character, the Wiz, is going to be tending the church in Donovich's place, right?
Right.
And that's part of what we're going to be discussing is how did he get this job, Right. What's he doing here? So we're already starting to sort of tweak the module as written, mm-hmm. with some insertions. And most of it is because, you know, we love Matt and we want to give him a great character. Something that's kind of interesting about this Curse of Strahd is, you know, you have the vampire and you have these vampire spawn, the vampires that the vampire made. And throughout the module, it talks about these vampire spawn look like adventurers. They were once adventurers. Right. And it's over and over again. It's a recurring motif throughout the module is you have these vampire spawn who once were adventurers. So what we're doing here is we're having Matt Yamashita actually play a character from a campaign we played 20 years ago.
Oh, wow.
Right. But he's now a vampire. And that's the secret. And we're going to be a little bit shy about giving that away. That's a spoiler for
that
Min
is a
over
spoiler
here.
For me. I'm going to erase that from my mind as best I can. Yeah. It's hard as a player to not be spoiled by spoilers.
Yeah. But you're helping us with our sound, so we're giving you the spoilers. So I'll go back to Anna. We'll finish your outline, and then we're going to bring in Matt.
Okay, so they're going to go to the church, and then after they're at the church, ideally, and they bring Teenok back to life, then they will go to look for Irina per Ismark's request. Mm-hmm. Where do they meet Ismark at the church?
I think Ismark's going to meet them at the church. Ismark will just barge into the scene and say, please help.
Yeah, and he'll be like, you got to come. And then they'll go to...
It's either that or they go to the tavern. Mm-hmm. And that's where Ismark is normally encountered. So normally, the way this is written, the characters are kind of assumed to be going to the tavern first and then exploring from there. We have certain plot seeds there. But because of what happened at the Death House, there's going to be a very, very strong urgency to go to the church first.
Right.
And that just sort of so the script of this chapter is already on its head.
Right.
And so we're just going to go with it. Right.
When that happens, when you go off script, how much of it are you writing or how much of it are you just outlining? And
well, because I have a bit of time between sessions, I can kind of plot out how I think it's going to happen. Right. I actually have some written text boxes that I've created. When we introduce the game at 3:00, I have a script that I'm going to read that's going to set the scene, and it's different from the box text that you would normally get because I'm writing it from the perspective of what happened when we ran the prologue.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Cool.
Mm-hmm. All right, Anna.
Irina, I'm looking for her.
It's chapter three. Yeah.
And her main goal is just to be cured of her.
She wants to get to a safe place. So here's the deal is Strahd commands the wolves of the forest, and mm-hmm. they're like his foot soldiers. And the wolves have been besieging this village, and they've been trying to kidnap you, basically. They're just drag you off, right? One of the rules with vampires,
and it's really
Strahd. It's right. Strahd the vampire lord right. has a thing for you.
I know.
Right?
I know.
Their father that was killed.
Yeah. He died of a heart attack.
Okay, so it's
because of the stress he'd been going through.
The stress of the because the wolves are attacking. They're like trying to break into the house, and they've been doing it day after day after day, night after night.
Because they're trying to get her,
right? And he died of a heart attack, right? And so what Ismark needs help with is we have a dead body here in the burgomaster's mm-hmm. mansion. He's the mayor, right? The dead mayor. And they need to take him to the church to bury him, but the fucking wolves are everywhere, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And so they need an escort.
That is interesting.
Yeah.
And not all of the session tonight is just going to be us talking about what happened or what will happen.
There is something exciting about the idea of like what they have to do is they have to get from here to the graveyard, and they're like all these wolves in the middle of it.
Yeah. And Irina, the sister of Ismark, she's been bitten already. By mm-hmm. Strahd, the vampire. She's been bitten twice. And Strahd is kind of ready for the final abduction. He wants to turn her into a vampire, right? And so Ismark wants the heroes to take her out of this village. Get her out of here, right? Take her to Valaki.
Right.
It's the next village on the road.
And one would assume that in doing so, they're going to be pursued by packs and packs of wolves.
Oh, I have an overall question. Is everyone very open in talking about Strahd? Like would Morgantha,
Villagers and shit?
Yeah, would Morgantha be like, You're not Strahd, are you?
Well, okay, we know that everyone knows that Strahd runs the county of Barovia, right?
Yeah.
The hags are sort of independently evil, right? And so you're sort of stuck here. You don't know why. This is a pocket dimension. You get stuck here, but you like it here. It's so gloomy.
Yeah, totally. So but nice. I mean, I was just thinking,
and
like,
so you respect Strahd, but he is not your boss.
Well, what I was thinking is if I was like Morgantha, like I could say something like, "You're not Strahd, are you? You're not Strahd, are you? But if you are, thank you, Master, for coming. Would you like a pie?" You know what I mean?
You can
like
totally
that
do
type
that.
Of thing.
Yeah, you can totally do that. Mm-hmm.
Cool, cool, cool. Mm-hmm.
So Strahd is a known overlord.
Yes, yes.
Like people know who he is.
People know who he is, and you know, he is thought to be one of those vampires, but you know,
right?
Who believes in vampires?
Right, exactly. Yeah, and also, I mean, like politically speaking, it would probably be a sorry move to go against.
Yeah.
Strahd.
Yeah.
From a political sense.
And politically, there's the county of Barovia. Mm-hmm. Right on the other side of that border is this village of Valaki. So Valaki is sort of outside the zone, right? And so Ismark thinks she'll be safer in this other town.
Because Strahd might not have as much influence.
That's right. Yeah.
Now, the hags that are independently evil, throw this off, how do they tie into the broader narrative, or do they? They don't have to.
They don't really.
Evil hags are great to have around.
That's right. That's right. They have their own storyline, pretty much.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Did you write that, or was that in the book?
No, it's in the book.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So the hags, their deal is they live in this windmill, and they kidnap children, because hags like to eat children.
Right.
Right. That's what hags do.
Sure.
And they take the bones of the children, grind them up in the windmill.
The bones are soft and easy to grind.
Yes, they make meat pies out of them. Right. And these meat pies are like drugs, like, you know, they make you high. And so the thing about Barovia, which is this place that the game exists in, it's a pocket dimension, and every soul that is here is trapped. No one can get out, right? When you die, you just get reborn back into Barovia, right? So only about 1 in 10 people actually have souls. Everyone else is just like a little automaton,
right?
They're just figments of Strahd's imagination, right? And so when you eat these meat pies, you start dreaming about other places, and this is where our bridge to Cthulhu takes place.
So the meat pies actually, in a way, weaken the barrier between Barovia and these outside worlds.
Yeah. Well, okay. According to the text of the module, the meat pies are hallucinatory drugs, right?
Right.
You're imagining these paradise, and it's just a drug trip. But we're going to turn that on its head. When you eat the meat pie, you wake up to reality. It's like the red pill in the Matrix.
Right.
You eat the meat pie, you wake up to reality, and you realize that the whole Curse of Strahd, that's just a dream. Mm-hmm. It's a recurring nightmare. You wake up to who you really are.
You can't spoil the audience with this yet.
Who you really are. Okay.
Well, the whole thing about it, the DM thing, is you want to understand everything.
Yeah, who are you really, right?
Right.
And that's sort of our little secret here.
And actually, this just a real quick point. The point of this planning session is because people who enjoy watching you guys play could skip this part.
That's right.
And just start at the game, which starts at 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
You know? But this planning session, in a way...
3 o'clock.
This planning session, in a way, allows you to... It allows an audience to at least understand kind of the superstructure, what's going on, and maybe while watching the game.
It's supposed to be a how-to series. So we have two podcasts. Strahd O'Mohado is our D&D podcast. We have another podcast called Masters of the D.
Right.
Right. And that's a Dungeon Master's workshop.
And that's what this is.
It's the Dungeon Masterclass.
Yes.
Yes.
Cool.
Right.
Irina.
Yes.
What do I need to know about Irina other than she's been bitten and she wants to be taken somewhere safe and that she refuses to let anyone into the house
unless
they can prove that they are not?
So souls that are trapped in Barovia reincarnate in Barovia.
Yeah, she's been reincarnated.
You've been reincarnating for a long time, and Strahd has been obsessed with every one of your reincarnations.
Yeah.
That's the other thing about Irina.
How do I...
Another thing to know about Irina is that she is basically an orphan.
Mm-hmm.
She was adopted by the burgomaster of Barovia. She is not the natural born daughter.
Yes.
She was adopted. Mm-hmm. And Irina actually has a brother who is in this module.
What
He's
the?
In Vallaki.
What? So I mean, yeah. Is she aware of this?
No.
So I'm really the best brother. Ismark.
Yeah.
Ismark is not a blood brother. He's an adopted
and
brother.
And does Irina know brother. That
so they
she's...
can get together.
Does Irina know... Does Irina know that she's been reincarnated a million times?
No.
Does she know...
She might suspect it.
But she knows she's been bitten by Strahd.
Yeah. And yeah, the question
How
is like...
How did you get in there? We talked about this before, but I can't remember.
Yeah, so Strahd has the ability to mind control people, and he just...
He caught me when I was outside.
He caught you... Well, no, he entranced you, and he told you to let him in. And you invited him in.
He entranced me from outside, huh?
Yeah, he entranced you from outside.
Powerful.
He just commanded you... Invite me in, and you invited him in.
Okay,
you missed your saving throw.
That's all I need to know about her.
Yep,
if Ismark is there, she'll just open the door and go with them. If Ismark isn't there, they have to convince her with a D something 15 saving something.
Whatever.
Yeah. What is a D15?
A DC 15 saving throw.
Okay,
gotcha. Difficulty class. All right. So next is our starring role for Anna today is Madam. Ava.
Madam Ava. So tell me how they run into Madam Ava.
She has an encampment outside of Barovia, right? You leave Barovia. There's a little fork in the road. One goes down to Ava. Mm-hmm. One goes up towards Castle Ravenloft. I think I'm going to want to railroad the players to Madam Ava.
Right.
Right. Yeah. And the way we're going to do it, Madam Ava's part of a gypsy family, a gypsy clan called the Vistani. And the Vistani actually can leave Barovia and come back. They're the only ones who can. Mm-hmm. Right? They're like interdimensional gypsies. Right?
Right.
And Madam Ava is a fortune teller and a seer and a prophet. And, you know, she's been seeing visions of a hero that's going to come and rid the name of the module is the Curse of Strahd. It's the curse of being ruled over by Strahd. Mm-hmm. And she thinks she could break the curse, obviously. Kill the vampire. That's how you
break
the curse.
Can I tell them all of that too? Can I tell them?
As Madam Ava?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Can I tell them like there we have a horrible curse here? We need you to save.
Here's the railroad. Yeah, here's the railroad is that there's a gypsy caravan coming through town. Right. And I'm gonna be playing Stanimir, which is a wizard who's in the gypsy caravan, and he's just gonna pick him up. Oh, you're going to Vallaki? I'm going to Vallaki. Come with me. Hop in my wagons. We'll take you there. Mm-hmm. And he takes him to Madam Ava. Mm-hmm. Right. And okay. I've got a monologue that I'm going to do.
In the card reading, it says like the tomb. Like it says number one, the tomb of Strahd. Flip over card number one and read. I don't tell them this is where.
Yeah.
Do I tell them this is the location of the tomb of Strahd?
Yeah.
The tomb of Strahd.
Yeah, yeah. I want you to name the items. Name over and over and over again.
So, tomb of Strahd.
Yeah. The whole point of the reading is to drill into everyone what their quest is.
Okay.
Now, we're doing this thing where she is only interested in one player. That's Buffy.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's the one that has been foretold is going to be killing Strahd. And so she wants to talk to Buffy. The fortune is for Buffy. Although everyone gets to be there,
mm-hmm.
it's Buffy who sits down in front of her.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
When you plan these games, too, because you've been playing with your players for such a long time, do you anticipate how they might try to break the game?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And have you do you feel you have a pretty good idea how they're going to try to break it here?
No.
Okay.
I've been pretty hard to like just halt the I've been trying to stop that from going on. The good news is the solution I've used is like the one player who is the most egregious at trying to break the game, well, the second most egregious is Matt, but he's playing an NPC. He's on my side of the table this
right.
time.
Okay.
Right. So he's going to be helping enforce the game instead of helping to break it. And Nate I can handle. Nate is just the one who's always perpetually trying to give himself bonuses.
Right.
So all I got to do is say no.
Right.
Bonuses.
Yeah. So yeah, the last chapter of tonight is when we go to the Vistani camp and escort Buffy to Madam Ava, and that's when she does the reading. And we've got these cards. And I guess I have a question for the people backstage, the crew, is there any way we want to deal the cards so that they look good on camera?
Like, is there a particular place?
On the table?
On the table?
Put them in the dice tray. Because the dice tray... Well, you might go... Here's what you can do. You can do one card at a time in the dice tray, right? And then after you read the card, then take the card out of the dice tray and put it in the spread. The dice trays need to stay stationary, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Don't move the dice trays.
Don't move the dice trays.
So what I think...
You should put, like, seriously tape here because somebody's going to move it, yeah. and we won't know exactly where to put it back.
Okay. Do we have more to talk about?
No, I think you should bring in Matt so I can organize myself here.
Yeah,
and
is Matt Yamashita out there?
Lewis will grab him. So I do actually have one more question.
Yeah.
So I'm going to tell them, you know, very clearly, like, Zinexka, I don't know, Russian, yeah. whatever, German, it whatever could go, anything can happen here. I want it to be Eastern European, but we'll see how it lands. So the first one I'm going to say, here is where you find the Tomb of Strahd.
The Tomb of Strahd. Tomb of Strahd, yeah.
I have not been reading.
As much as you can, repeat the name of the magic item over and over and over and over and over again.
Okay.
Right, we want to make it just like,
yeah.
hit them over the head with that
got
shit.
Got you. Yeah, okay, yeah, got yeah. you. And then the other thing I was going to ask, I can't remember. Go ahead with that.
Okay. Hey, welcome, Matt Yamashita.
How's it going?
We want to...
I'm not going to be here long.
Oh, you're not? Okay.
Am I?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're just going to be here and then we're going to start playing. So.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to go right into the game.
How's this?
Yeah.
How's that?
Do you hear yourself?
Sure, this is great.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Okay, great. All right, so welcome, Matt Yamashita. Matt Yamashita is going to be playing one or more NPCs. Okay.
But I haven't heard any secrets yet, and I don't want to.
Understood.
I had to plug my ears.
So the way you're going to be introduced into the game is going to be pretty close to the beginning.
That sounds like a secret.
Yes, is that we have a flashback scene where Teenoch and Kikaken. Are together, the brothers of Christ, in a tavern.
I listened to all the previous episodes, and what I thought Min was, that was some pretty weak shit. Not the whole recordings, but just Min.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
How so?
Yeah.
I don't know, just playing
weak,
on me.
Weak. What was that at the end where you like
sacrificed myself?
You sacrificed yourself?
Oh. It just made sense.
I didn't feel it.
Okay. Oh, I felt it. I thought it was great. We have that flashback, and you're going to be delivering a letter. Okay?
Got it.
Yes. It's very easy, which I know is going to take a long time to accomplish.
Okay.
You're going to be delivering a letter.
Okay.
Then, as who? As the Wiz.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
The Wiz was given instructions by someone.
I heard
to
this.
Deliver a letter. Letter. Yes.
I'm fuzzy on these on purpose. Super fuzzy.
Yeah. Good. Okay. Then after that letter is delivered.
Do I know what's in the letter?
No.
Oh.
How would I not know what's in the letter?
Okay. You know what's in the letter.
Okay. What's in the letter?
See, he's already arguing. Do you see
that?
When I read it.
Yeah. See, this is why. This is why he's on this side of the table,
and
right?
And even then.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like he's on any side of the table.
You can put me on any side of the table you want.
He's still who he is, yes. Okay, so you deliver the letter.
Right? Got it, yeah.
And then we flash back forward to the real time.
Got it.
Right, to present time.
Okay.
Then when we reach the church,
mm-hmm.
The church has a priest tending it, and mm-hmm. for whatever reason, that priest... is not there, but you are.
Got it.
Okay. Here's my question. Where's the priest? Where's Donovich? From the Wiz's point of view, what do you think would have happened to him?
I'm there as Doru, so I unless you took it off somewhere, then I would have heard what happened.
Well, You just can compartmentalize. Like we're working it out now.
I feel like this
once
is,
we work
this
it out,
is,
then yeah.
That's the question I'd be asking. That's a good question.
Okay.
I don't know that I need.
Then I'm going to fill it in. Yeah. Yeah. As a DM, I'll fill in Donovich. And if Donovich shows up.
Do you have a lot of details about the interior of the church?
I need details about the interior of the church. Oh, well, it's ruined. It's a ruined church.
Super
ruined. Yeah. Yeah. It's been assaulted a lot. Okay. I think at some point I may give you voices in your head. Right.
Got it. Yeah.
Because one of the functions of Donovich is to
that was the old priest.
The old priest.
Yeah.
One of the plot functions of Donovich is to direct the players to go to the abbot of Kresk, the abbot of St. Markovia, who has the power to perform the healing that they need for Tinoch.
Okay. So deliver a letter.
Yes.
And then get them to the abbot of
Kresk. Yeah, point them to the
Kresk?
Abbot. Kresk.
Kresk. Yes.
Kresk. Yeah, there's an abbey called the Abbey of St. Markovia. It's dedicated to St. Markovia, but the village that the abbey is in or near is called Kresk.
I think it's K-R-E-S-Z.
K-R-E-S-Z-K, something like that. Okay, one other thing. This is important. and that is that they're going to encounter a lady who's a vendor of meat pies. And these meat pies have a special property, and the special property is that it breaks them out of the nightmare that they're stuck in. And the character, whoever eats the meat pie, wakes up as their real true self. And the real true self of that character is someone who belongs to AA, right? Right? That's who they really are, and it's at the beginning of the campaign, right? So it's before the meeting with Amos. That's when they wake up. So the idea is this is our lead-in to that storyline, right? They wake up and it's like they're in this world. So if it's Nate who eats the meat pie, then he wakes up as Trip,
okay,
who we know has it has
so
a certain condition.
The connection to the Cthulhu campaign. What's the How are you?
Like, so the way we're doing is that the characters in this campaign are only dreams.
No, I know that. Yeah. I'm wondering, in terms of just kind of the way your players work, why do you want to connect the two campaigns, the Cthulhu campaign you're playing?
We've got a podcast for the Cthulhu campaign, and we want motivation to release it.
It is sheer marketing.
Yeah, sheer marketing.
Nice.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, it's connecting the tissues together.
Spoiler alert.
What's it called,
spoiler
like a
alert.
Crossover episode? Or?
There we go. Yeah, it's a universe crossover.
It's a universe crossover.
It's to get more people to watch The Flash.
That's right. Okay. get more people to watch The Flash. So if someone eats the dream pie, they're going to get sick over the next few hours, and then the next time they fall asleep, they wake up, and I'll turn it over to you and give you 5 to 10 minutes to let them know what their dream is, right? And to sort of play through that
and
dream.
And the dream that they had is actually the reality in the
it's
other
It's actually
campaign.
The reality, yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. That's good.
Yeah.
Is that anything else?
Ask your question. We have 10 minutes before we're going to start pulling in more characters.
An important question from the group outside was I tried to tell them that there are no drinks allowed at the table. Is that accurate?
Yeah, that's okay. Accurate.
I need to probably go tell them that.
Yeah.
So that they can get their last drinks in.
Okay, do that. And
now there will be breaks periodically in which they can... You know,
yeah. Fuel up.
Fuel up.
Yeah.
Polite way of putting it.
Uh-huh.
Drink.
Hard and heavy.
Can I fill up my water bottle and just have it here on the floor?
Water bottle?
I think
on
I got
floor,
it.
On the floor.
Yeah. Okay.
So, the letter I'm delivering that's in the past. Yes. I delivered it before they ever came to the house.
That's correct. Yeah. 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 The letter is their invitation to come into the world.
So just out of curiosity, what are you hoping to get out of that exchange? Why are we doing that?
Because the letter has a quest embedded in it. Right?
Which will only carry on at this point to Kukulkan, because Tinoch's already dead.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I mean, yeah, it's...
But it gives the Wiz a chance to talk to Kukulkan a little bit.
Yes, uh-huh. Yeah, that's right.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
And then they're going to come to the church.
Yes.
And then we're going to get them to the Abbey of Kresk.
Yeah.
And then we're going to tell them,
hit those meat pies. Don't say no to a meat pie. Meat pie's where it's at.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I got that.
Yeah, okay. Okay. Good, good, good.
Thanks, Matt Wai.
All right.
Do you know the Wizard of Wines, the Raven?
Hmm?
Do you know Raven, the Raven?
Yeah, the Wizard of Wines, yes.
His wine isn't bad or anything like that.
No, the problem is that...
I was just thinking Morgantha might have like a little bit of Wizard of Wines. I don't want to poison people, but...
So the whole thing about the Wizard of Wines is that there's a crisis happening at the Wizard of Wines. There are these winemakers, and they're... In order to make the wine grow, they have these magical gems that they plant, but those gems have been stolen, and so they're unable to produce any wine. And so every village in Barovia is running out of their alcohol.
Sounds right? Like a tragedy.
Yeah. So the last time when we played in the Death House, and they went to this room where there was supposed to be a lot of alcohol, and I was thinking through, and I said, oh, wait a second. No, there's no alcohol here. That's what I was sort of seeding, is the fact that we have this plot line of the alcohol being unavailable. Mm-hmm. So yeah,
I think we're on automatic right now, so I'm gonna go off and hit that drink.
Yeah, I think it's break time. I think we take a little break, we get everyone ready to come on in.
Okay.
Right.
So that basically, this is the end of the
Masters of the D
Masters
session.
Of the D show.
Uh-huh. That's right.
And did it accomplish what you wanted to accomplish?
Yeah.
I think so.
Cool.
Yeah. I will. We'll have to ask the people listening at home whether or not it accomplished anything for them.
Did I ask the stupid questions that allowed you to explain different parts?
Yeah, no, it was great. Yeah, you are such a good stupid man.
Thank you very much. I practice.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, he told me that too, just FYI.
But I do feel like it seems like you guys...
Because in our first session, I was like, what are dice?
Yeah, part of the reason why we're doing this is because I want to show how much our preparation is thrown away.
Right, right. So right. You prepare a lot.
Like, no matter how much we prepare, the players are going to just pulverize that the hell out of our plans,
right,
and shred them.
So this is to create sympathy for DMs everywhere.
That's right. Well, nice. it's also so that if you're a DM, be prepared. This is going to happen to you.
Right.
Yeah.
Not always. Right. There are players who are very well behaved.
I don't. For some reason, I just aren't. Those aren't attracted to me. Yeah. those don't come. I might actually. I might take a little pee break as well.
Okay.
You can see yourself on camera. That's not fair. How did Ben get that Z? Look at this.
Yeah,
a woman should have that Z.
All right, Arthur. Thanks, man. Yeah. So the next time you guys will see us or see Arthur, you'll be in the game.
That's right.
Thanks for joining us once again. Many thanks to the following musicians who have released their music under Creative Commons license. Thanks to Gregoire Lorme for Orphanage and As Long As We Remember. Thanks to An Historic for Knock Knock from Hotline Miami. And finally, thanks to E-Bunny for Darkness. This has been a Wet Maynard production. Stay safe and hug some dice.